This is a Wild Games Production podcast.
You remember.
Roll your stealth roll?
Game books, pencils, pizza, cheese puffs, and a hell of a lot of dice.
And the dragon woke up.
Roll for initiative.
This is the Roll for Initiative podcast, where 1E is the place to be.
Roll for Initiative podcast. This is Volume 8. I'm Vince, sitting with Nick.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody. And
hello, everybody.
No, don't do that. Matt.
Hello, everyone.
We're back with another episode. We're doing episode 4, Valley of the Unicorns, this week. Also written, as we know, by Paul Dini from last time. And Carl Gears? Is that how it's pronounced?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, why not? Original air date was October 8th, 1983. We're getting closer to Halloween. Yay!
Yay!
7.5 out of 10 IMDb rating again. So we're doing good. Summary... Yes.
Mm. No, this was a fairly decent episode. It has its moments.
If this episode didn't exist, I wouldn't notice. The summary of this episode, the group encounters a unicorn being attacked. Immediately, I didn't want to watch it. They manage to help the unicorn, but Uni is captured by a wizard who is capturing unicorns and stealing their magical horns. Lame. A little bit of trivia for this episode that I found. It's blatantly obvious, but they call it trivia. After Eric uses his shield to save everyone, later on at some point, Diana, who interrupts him while he's bragging, calls him Mr. Mouth, which is a reference to...
Yes, Ralph Mouth.
Yeah. Eric, the voice actor Donnie Most, played Ralph Mouth on Happy Days. So they kind of threw that little tidbit in there, which was kind of cool.
Yep. I caught that too.
Yeah. So we open up the episode in a spooky forest, as usual.
Ooh, spooky. Oh, well, scared myself. Oh.
Maybe it's the same one from the last episode. What the flying
one? Probably is. They got lost again.
Well, I mean, it's closer to Halloween.
Does anybody know how to map?
No. They have no mappers in that group, apparently.
Good lord.
Though you would think Sheila might be a mapper, because she seems kind of geeky.
Yeah, you'd think that.
Yeah. Whatever. And we get to a shot of a bluish unicorn drinking water.
I think it's supposed to be black, but...
Yeah, is it black?
It's black. It's black.
Is that black? Oh, man. My DVD must be off.
You need to recalibrate your TV.
No, it's supposed to be black. It just has a bluish tinge to
it. Yeah, it's like that midnight.
Oh, midnight black? Okay.
Yeah.
We hear some thunder, and we see some lightning sounds and stuff like that, but there's no rain. It's just a typical zap-zap of, the lightning.
Zap-zap.
We hear a pack of wolves howl. Ooh! Good timing, guys. As we see the pack of wolves charging the dark blue, I'm still going to go with that, unicorn.
Would you say they were wargs?
No. They look like regular wolves to me. At first, I thought they were dire wolves, but then as they got closer, they're just regular wolves to me. But
yeah, they're not big enough to be a dire wolf or a warg.
But we do see a dire wolf, but we'll get to that in a moment. Then we see a flash of lightning as we jump to Uni, crying and jumping into Bobby's arms. Nick, you do that way too much. That makes me want to kick you through the window, so stop it. With everybody wondering, what's wrong with Uni? And Eric pretty much doesn't care because Eric is cool. Do you notice throughout the entire series, Eric is the only one that questions everything, including what Dungeon Master is doing to them, and no one else is. Everyone's just like, meh, whatever. Dungeon Master, meh, give us these special cool weapons, meh.
He's like the only one that would ever say, don't you, Eddie, does anybody ever think that this is just weird?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's like the common sense of the group.
Yeah.
That's pretty
sad. He's the voice of reason.
And that's pretty sad.
It is very sad. When Donnie Most is the voice of reason.
Donnie Most. I keep picturing that scene from Family Guy when he's like, his ghost rises up and they sing the song in the background. I don't know, anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. We hear what sounds like a horse in trouble in the background, and Uni hears it after being frightened and runs off into the scary forest, where Hank says...
I won't do it. I won't do it.
Yeah. Hank says, don't go in there. God. The camera pans back to show the shadow of a unicorn on the mountainside being attacked and defending. You know, I kept saying herself, but we found out it's a him.
Mm.
I always thought unicorns were she, but I guess they can.
No, there's male and female ones. How do you think Uni was made?
I don't know, a horse and a unicorn? I don't know.
No, a mommy unicorn and a daddy unicorn got together.
Nick.
And they loved each other.
Nick. They loved each other, had a few drinks.
Had a few drinks?
Yeah, they went down to the river together.
They went to the Dragon's Tooth. Had a few drinks.
They traveled to the Dragon's Tooth, huh?
We said it was the same forest. We can only assume that the Dragon's Tooth is nearby.
Very true. Very true. I like to see when someone map all these things out.
I'm tying them all together. This is awesome.
Doing a good job. Map it. Then we actually pan to the unicorn being attacked and mauled by the wolves, and he's doing a good job of defending himself by, I guess, kicking them away and shoving them away.
Everybody's kung fu fighting.
Yeah, if a unicorn can kung fu fight, this unicorn was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, it was being badass.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fending off a wolf pack by itself.
Itself.
Mm-hmm.
And not using its horn once.
Well, we get into that in a moment.
Yes.
Then we pan to we pan to an old man. Doesn't he look like Merlin?
He actually looks like the guy off the Unearthed Arcana.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're right. My God, I never put that together. He kind of does.
I saw him. I'm like, that's Unearthed Arcana guy.
I have that picture hanging on my wall. I'm looking at it right now. So, if you put the skull cap on him, yeah, look real similar.
Well, I thought he looked like Merlin at the time, but now I'm changing that. So, but he's sitting on the back of a dire wolf.
Yep.
And says, enough of this. I want him now. And the wolves attack faster. I don't know what the purpose of that was. It looks like they started. I don't know. It just looked like the wolf started attacking faster. I was like, okay.
Haste.
Yeah.
We need to get him now, otherwise he'll beat us more.
Yeah. Then we go back to Uni, who is crying out loud and running and trips over a rock.
Bunk.
Which.
Narf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
Narf.
Narf. That's. Narf. No. Wrong. Wrong. That's Thundercats. Stop it.
That's the one that Nick wants to kick through the window. Snarf.
Oh, my God.
Nick sat there going, I'm going to kick him through a window.
Kick him through the window. I want to punt him into the wall.
Ooh.
Because it'll hurt the hole.
Jeez. Uni trips over a rock, which the old man from the Unearthed Arcana turns around and notices this, and she rolls into a ball, crashing into the old man sitting on the wolf, and he turns around watching this all. I'm surprised he didn't start laughing, because I would have laughed my ass off at that. I mean, it looks so dumb.
He's like, loser.
Go ahead, Nick. Do the sound effect of Uni falling. Thank you. We have our own Uni sound effects. Wonderful.
Yes, we have a Uni drop board in Nick.
Yeah, he could do Christopher Walken, Homer, and now Uni. Yeah, now he's thinking about his life decisions.
Yes. I made poor life choices, but I'm not big.
So then the old man, the old man is now excited because he's like, oh, I found a second unicorn. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs Uni, but she kind of gets away. And I went,
why have one when I could get two for twice the price?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think it looks like the wolves chase after Uni. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it looked like half the wolves chased after Unis. We hear Hank and company coming in the distance. You hear like, hey, guys, it's this way. And the old man rolls his hide in shadows and moves behind a rock so he doesn't get seen.
He learned it from the dungeon master.
Well, he's multi-class. That's all.
Here's my dick move.
Yeah, he just kind of backs up and goes behind a rock and is like, huh, I'm hidden now.
You can't see me.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. I'm just a rock.
The group shows up and watches as the wolves are attacking the unicorn, because after everything they've seen in this new world, another unicorn stuns them.
Yes.
I guess they failed their wild.
It is black.
It's racist, it is Nick. A black unicorn. That's racist, Nick.
That's not what I meant.
I guess they failed their wow roll because they're just standing there stunned for like a moment. Like, oh, another unicorn.
Wow. Golly gee, Dwellickers.
Yeah. And then they jump into action and they save the unicorns, Uni and the new unicorn, from the wolves. Presto successfully pulls out a slab of ham or meat or whatever it is. Ding.
Successful move by Presto.
Let's add to the tally on that one. So what are we at, four now?
Four. But there's a second one in this episode.
Right. When we get to that. So we're at episode four, and we're four for four now. Okay.
Yes, we are.
Well, technically we're not.
The pattern seems to be that the usefulness of Presto with the hat, it comes in bunches. It's not like one episode. There's one time each. It's like one episode, there's two.
Actually?
Another episode, there's two or something like that.
I figured out his pattern now.
Hmm.
When he randomly grabs something out of his hat without saying anything, it works.
There you go.
But if he does a rhyme or something, he just absolutely screws it up. I don't know.
Abracadoofy, I pull out a smoothie. What?
I am. Abracadoofy, I'm a dumbass oofy. I don't know.
So he Bullwinkle.
And here's what. Yes. And now we see Uni getting ready to attack, and only Matt will probably appreciate it. But the wolf pulls an RKO out of nowhere and grabs.
Yes.
And grabs Uni out of nowhere. Like, yes. Uni's like, meh, doing that stupid noise. Thank you. To attack. And the wolf is just like, boom, out of nowhere, grabs Uni by the neck and runs off into the woods. It's like an RKO out of nowhere. Anyway, and the group's like, hey, Uni's missing. And they're like, well, we got to help the big unicorn first, ignoring Uni's whereabouts for the time being.
Because reasons.
Yeah, I don't know. Intelligence check, whatever.
Intelligence check, that's rich.
Yeah. The unicorn all of a sudden looks like it's constipated and does some move and all of a sudden disappears, which we all know is a teleport because unicorns can do that.
Either that was going to poop a rainbow. One of the two.
One of the two was going to happen. Thank God we got a teleport. Leaving the wolf stunned and yet annoyed because he appears on top of the cliffside and climbs the cliff.
Rock climbing.
Apparently that's one of the
There's skills. A lot of rock climbing in this show. You notice that?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Rock climbing, Joel. Rock climbing.
They Next. Must be in a mountainous region. That's all.
Well, that goes with everything else. The Hall of Bones, you know, things like that.
If we map this out, all these towns and everything's probably in like a 1 mile square radius.
It's just like, mountains, desert, mountains, desert, mountains. They're living in frickin' Nevada.
It's just the same town over and over again. It's like Westworld. They just changed the signs.
I would expect another episode. You see out in the distance, hey, it's sunny Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, the DM is just using a random generation chart to plot out each hex of the terrain.
Okay, mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Rocky terrain, deserts. Okay. I have a theory I've been working on this from the last episode, but please continue.
Okay. Next, we jump to the old man who has Uni captive in some, like, power bracelets around her hooves. I don't know what they were. I guess detainment. He went to Star Wars and got some detainment things.
Yes.
Wonder Woman's lasso?
I couldn't figure it out, but they were just glowing. That's all I know. And you notice that they're looking over their shoulder, even including Uni, watching the big unicorn do her little teleport, his teleport thing. So Uni makes a massive face of constipation. It looks like you're constipated.
And, there's too much cheese.
Yeah, too much cheese and ice cream, and she teleports herself, and she's like, yay, and reappears right behind the old guy who basically just like, yeah, and just grabs
her.
Who
I found out his name, I believe, right now.
We do.
Now,
we do.
This time.
Not at this point. We don't find it out until I think Dungeon Master tells them a little bit later.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got ahead of myself.
He grabs her easily, and he... alludes to the fact that it's a pity Uni will never learn to use her power properly, as he's going to kill her and eat her for dinner. No, but he doesn't say that.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, he just basically says that, and Uni goes, the camera pans the Uni's face and does that little scream.
And, yeah, and definitely poops a rainbow.
Is that what you saw happen? Okay. Can I have your edition?
She's like, no way. Blarp.
A little rainbow poop on the ground.
Yeah.
We cut back to the kids who are ready to attack the wolves, but the old man calls them back and the wolves run into the forest. Hank, passing his ranger tracking ability check.
Yes. Yeah. Ranger skill at full power here.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Chases after the wolves after he says, hey, they went this way and so did Uni probably.
Because they just saw them run that way. Good job, Ranger.
Yeah, whatever. He needed to do a Ranger check for that. But, you know, it's a cartoon. Kids, 10-year-olds. Stupid.
Right. Hey, I was 12. Okay, so I wasn't entirely stupid.
No, you were...
Trying to think about it. 10 o'clock at this time, how many bowls of cereal have I eaten by that time?
You're probably at least on your second bowl at this point.
At least second, working on the third.
Exactly. You were probably eating Sugar Crisps at that point.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what they called them, Sugar Crisps back then. Not Golden Crisps.
Sugar Crisps.
Anyway, we cut back to the old man and the wolves traveling. We did that already. Sorry. The old man looks over his shoulder. Yep. And as he's traveling, he's traveling with the wolves through, like, these brambles that are perfectly moving out of the way as he's walking.
Yeah.
I was just like, what is he doing?
Well, you find out why eventually at the end of his little walk.
Yeah. And he's traveling through there, and he, like, just kind of peers over his shoulder and passes, like, a perfect spot check. And he's just like, oh, they're following me. This is perfect.
Well, hold on. You got to back up, though. This is before that. You got to remember Dungeon Master shows up, his ugly mug.
Oh, no, wait. Not yet.
Yeah, he already showed up because that's why they were following him, right?
They're following. Wait, hold on. They're following him. He looks over his shoulder, realizes that they're there, is happy about this. Then we cut to the group who's doing a really poor attempt of hiding behind the brambles. And, you know, Eric, of course, you know, stands up and they pull him back down. And then the DM shows up.
Okay, that's when he shows up.
Because they're trying to figure a way how to save Union, and DM shows up.
Yeah, because Eric was probably yelling, this is all stupid.
Yeah, he pretty much was. DM shows up, yay, and then Bobby does, hey, it's Dungeon Master.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. He tells him about the old man who is really Kellick, the wizard, who has a unicorn fetish. Well, he does. Come on now.
I can't believe you said that.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dungeon Master. Kellick has this thing for unicorns. Don't ask.
You know, we have a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yes.
And the unicorn, the black unicorn, I keep wanting to say blue. I wrote down blue, so I'm going to read blue.
He is blackish bluish.
The black and blue unicorn, his name's Silvermane.
Yeah.
And DM tells him the story about the Valley of the Unicorns and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and why he wants this and that. And Eric pulls out a notepad and pencil, whispering to Diana that he's not going to pull a fast one over me. I'm going to write down every dumb word he says.
Yep.
Of course, he screws it up anyway.
I'm like not even 2 seconds afterwards. He's babbling like an incoherent boob.
Yeah, the DM gives him the riddle. The fate of one is shared by all. And he's like, the fate of the horn of what? The boo? And he like screws it up. Like you said, 2 seconds after the DM is done. And the group is dumbfounded looking at him.
Hey, you are a moron.
Yeah. And they're like, but Dungeon Master. And he's like, he's gone. Dude, just like.
Don't tell me. He's gone, isn't he?
I'm more curious. Where did he get the notepad?
Yeah, I don't know. He pulled it out of his butt.
Yes, notepad, pencil.
It's like that scene.
This
from...
is my theory forming.
Okay.
Continue.
It's like that scene from Men in Tights when they pulled a script out of their butt.
Yeah.
So, you know, he pulled the pencil and pad out of his... Never mind.
The same place where the bottle caps came from.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going with that.
Pulled it out of Eric's ass. Great. I mean, Hank's ass.
No, I have a theory.
He has an ass a holding?
He does have an ass of holding, correct?
The butt of holding.
Butt of holding. There we go. Mm. Someone stat up the butt of holding, please.
Yes, because I like them big.
So anyway,
that lie.
Nick. DM poofs away as the group figures out as they evilly grin at Eric and his shield. And he's like, what?
evilly grin at him. I'm like, okay, there's a number of ways I could go with that.
So they basically start going through the brush, marine crawling on the ground, as Nick had flashbacks from basic training.
God damn it.
Using his shield.
Fort Dix. No!
Using his shield to plow their way through the thorny brambles.
It worked.
They think they're hidden from the old man who is just like, blah, 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 they're still following me, those fools. I don't know. Whatever. The old man then parts the brambles and calls forth the giant castle of doom that was hidden underground. Perfectly.
That's not its name, folks. That's what just Vince named it.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. Giant Fortress of Doom. I dig it.
Castle of Doom.
Anyway. Castle, fortress, tomato, tomato.
Same difference, right?
Same difference.
It comes out of the ground, out of a perfectly, I don't know. What spell is this? Grow a castle spell? Is this the 7-Eleven theory?
What?
You never heard the 7-Eleven theory? How 7-Eleven? No. The people, the owners of 7-Eleven, they just go to the slot and they just throw down a magic pelt and 7-Eleven appears overnight. Because that's how fast they go.
Wow,
You never heard the 7-Eleven theory?
No, I've heard of it now and I think it's great.
Yeah. It's 7-Eleven's pure overnight.
I gathered that, you know, when he's away, you know, instead of just, you know, like a normal wizard to lock the place up, he has the place, like, go underground.
And you don't see any sign of it whatsoever.
No sign, because he's that powerful.
Anyway.
But apparently, the ultimate power in this world is the power of teleportation. Really?
Yeah, we find that out in a minute as the old man goes inside the castle and the group is seen peering up the steps looking in as he's walking in going, they're following me. Yeah, something like that. We see the old man standing in front of a weird demon statue with various arms, some of them which hold unicorn horns, and he says he will add Uni to the collection as Uni is trapped to the floor with Wonder Woman's lasso again.
Stop right there. You know, the demon idol thing?
Yes, it looks like
the horns.
Yeah,
players. I'm wondering how they got away with that from the CBS with, you know, the whole ties in with Satanism, with D&D, blah, blah, blah. How they got away with that, because I thought that would have been something that looked too satanic. You get my drift?
No, I understand. I don't think the censor, whatever, was it the censor board, whatever it was, they probably didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Good. That just shows they're idiots.
Because it had so many arms, maybe that's what it was.
Right.
A demon does have multiple arms. Who would believe that?
No.
Well, or Shiva.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't.
No, it has like almost had like the face of like the green demon face from Tomb of Horrors, if you look real close.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And of
that
course,
not Shiva.
He's going to add Uni's horn to the collection. And of course, like any good villain, he reveals his ultimate plans to Uni.
He's proselytizing.
As he wants the power of teleportation, as Nick said earlier, that is the most powerful thing in the universe. Or world, whatever.
What?
And then even when he has this power, Venger will bow to him.
Venger's call him Master.
Yeah. Which we're like, huh?
Because he can blink?
Yeah.
He can cast a blink spell.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Maybe the spell is like teleportation without error. And that's a high-level spell.
Yeah, but you can only do it once per day, right?
Maybe it's once per day per horn.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. We're getting ahead of ourselves about making this into an adventure, but I could work with that. I could work with that.
Yeah, so we find out that apparently he is an apprentice to Venger? We don't know, because...
Yeah, it's not really made clear. Is he... Yeah, was he, like... You know, was he an apprentice? Was he...
We don't know.
Then just said, you're fired, get out of here. And, you know, because he was his apprentice and all that. But
I got it.
I don't... Yeah, it's never really made clear. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. So anyway, the group is listening on from, I don't know, a cliff top in the castle in the background. And Presto's like, oh no, the new Venger? I think he says something like, the Venger we already have is bad enough.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It's not a title, you dipstick.
Well, you know. Then the old man starts casting a spell over his head, which looks like Tensor's floating disc above his head. I'm sorry, it does. Yeah. Why is he casting this giant disc over his head?
We don't know. It's a magical effect. They needed to do something quote-unquote cool for the kids.
Yeah. 10-year-old's dumb. We get it. Right.
Yeah. Third bowl of cereal. I'm on it.
And Nick is already on his third bowl of cereal going, is this over yet?
This is so awesome. Yeah.
So he's casting the Tensor's floating disc above his head. The group, Hank's like, hey, let's go now. Quick, run. And they start running towards the old man, Kellick, and he sees them, but drops his hand and zaps them with his paralyzing ice spell. I don't know. I can't figure out what it is. Is it a paralyzed spell?
Well, wait a minute. Didn't Presto make the comment yet?
About
Venger?
I just said that.
No, but yeah, him having the light bulb over his head.
No, that's later on. I know what you're talking about. That's later on.
Oh, it is. Okay.
The group runs and charges at him, but he drops his one hand, and he one-hands it, paralyzing them. I don't know. I couldn't figure out if it was an ice spell or a paralyzed spell. It, probably either one works, depending on what you want to look at. But they all fail their save versus spells, and they're all trapped, but could still hear and mumble and stuff like that.
Cry.
Yeah, cry, because we see Bobby crying at one point. The group, now frozen, watches on helpless as the old man uses his Tensor's floating disc to saw off... No, not really. It zaps Uni's horn and puts it on the demon statue. And Uni becomes gray, weak, and more useless than she was to begin with. Because now she can't stand all of a sudden.
And is pissing off Vince even more.
Yeah, so Uni is actually, in all unicorns in the D&D land, are like the trolls from the troll movie.
Useless? No, I'm kidding.
No, because when they get sad, they lose their color and go gray.
Huh.
And they lose their powers.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Matt's last podcast. So you know.
The fact that you even know about trolls.
My wife made me watch the movie.
Right.
Quotation mark, made me.
Made me.
Matt was probably like, hey, honey, look what I got. Let's watch it. She's like, hell no. And he's like, come on,
it's
please.
Got some catchy tunes from Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, anyway.
The fact that you know that makes you sad.
Anyway, let's move on. The old man, now having the power of Uni on his unicorn statue, in his arrogance, walks past them and goes over to the wall, which an invisible table appears with an amulet, and he declares he will find the Valley of Unicorns and find the last three unicorn horns, and then just walks out of the room.
Yeah.
Then we cut back to Uni, unable to stand for some reason, and falls on the ground like a doofus.
Yeah, well.
And then Bobby's crying, and out of the power of love and sadness, breaks free of the ice.
The power of love.
Okay. Hey, it's like just like the end of Frozen.
Oh, so Frozen stole it.
Before Frozen was Frozen.
Right. Just like when Elsa is crying, and Anna's the ice block, and the tear falls, and then Anna comes back to life. Same thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and you know that so well, too. Okay, trolls and Frozen. Vince, are you keeping score on this?
Yeah, he's got a hand in his man card after the show.
Yeah, say so.
Teasing. Anyway, hey, Bobby.
I'm not.
Okay.
Hey, I'll admit my taste in music of that is of a 16-year-old girl from 1990s. So, just saying.
Anyway. Bobby runs to Uni's side crying, but then it turns into rage as he turns, as he goes, slowly I turn step by step.
Kill it! You'll die!
Yeah, and he attacks the statue, but deflects off of a duo with some type of spell.
Yeah, he looks like a dude.
Yeah, and Hank breaks free, says, hey, there, you can't do that, Bobby. There's a spell protecting it, because he knew.
Oh, God.
I don't know how he knew, but he knew.
He saw it glow.
Oh, that's it. Got it.
Yes, because in this cartoon, if it glows, it's magic. All magic glows.
That's right.
True.
Bobby's
very true.
Club.
The group finally breaks free as the group taunts Eric while he's still caught in the ice. Debating
right.
Whether the...
Was it... it's not Sheila, but...
Diana.
Diana's like, do we have to let him go? Do we have to let him go or something like that?
This is the most quiet time of her.
I'm like, damn. Do we have to break him out? I'm like, damn, that's cold, man.
Yeah, that's totally your common group of all your friends, and that's the friend you just don't like all that much, and you're like, eh. Like,
if we didn't really need a paladin, we would not have him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cavalier. He's paladin light.
Yeah. He was like the guy that was
the kind of charisma to be a paladin.
He was like the guy in my gaming group that we used to always torture, lock him in closets, burn the room down, you know, things like that. take his holy avenger when you finally have it and tie it on a rope and put it on the side of the boat so he couldn't find it, things like that.
So he was the guy when he got paralyzed by like the carrion crawler, you guys used him as a doorstop.
Oh, yeah, he was the guy who found a pit of skeletons. We knocked him in, you know, things like that.
That's just wrong. Oh, but hilarious.
We were young kids in high school, and we were dicks. So.
I'm sure he's like, why do we keep coming here? Yeah. Why do we keep coming to this group?
Pretty much. And then they run to the next room because they hear some horses sounding sad.
Yeah.
And they had fiber, so they sound sad. As they race... Every time I hear sad like that, I think of that stupid Fiber One commercial where the guy takes a bite out of the bar and he's like, fiber makes me sad. Just like that. That's the stupid commercial. I have no idea why.
Oh, yeah,
it's hysterical. Anyway, and they see a bunch of gray unicorns in there just kind of looking depressed and everything. So they
now that's going to be a thing. It's like, oh, they're sad. Oh, they've been eating fiber.
Yeah, they're fiber. Yeah, well, lots of fiber. And the group remembers the DM's riddle and guesses they need to find the Valley of the Unicorns. So they're like, I don't think they're going to trust us. But Uni goes up and does the Uni thing, making her useful. And convinces the group to show them the way.
Yeah.
The group and the sad unicorn, so we're just going to call it a sad group at this point, make their way to the valley.
They still need their fiber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we see the old man is lurking in the background. His plan working? I just like calling him the old man because he's an old man.
And there's like a lightning bolt and thunderclap and...
Yeah.
Aha.
And then, okay, this is the part that I had a real major problem with. Then we see a waterfall with various falls of water in different colors, perfectly held together, not mixing.
Magic. Let it go.
Gee, there's going to be no unicorns behind this. That's totally normal, right?
Right. I was expecting the Lucky Charms leprechaun shop. Oh, moon, stars, clovers, blue diamonds.
It's just like, where would the unicorn valley be? Behind that rock? No. Behind that tree? No. Behind that colored, multicolored, magical stain together? Nah.
That waterfall?
Oh, I know. It's in the inn. The dragon tooth.
Yeah, the dragon's tooth. That's where we, yeah.
It's got to
be where
there.
We saw the last two unicorns. They were talking about having a kid.
Wow. Totally normal. Unicorn just walks up and the thing just parts ways and they walk through the waterfall, which walks through the mountainside.
It's magic. Let it go.
To the secret hidden valley of ranch. I mean, unicorns. Sorry. Sorry.
There's pools of ranch dressing everywhere with celery stalks and
yeah,
carrots.
Why not? Yeah.
And it looked very similar to the land that the kids restored.
Looked
when
like
they
the land
the Beholder.
Of Dairy Queen.
Oh yeah, the Beholder Valley. Yeah, that's right.
It's the Beholder Valley. They
it's on the other end.
Yeah.
Don't talk about cheap animation.
Like I said, which looks like the land of Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Recycled animation. The group then sees Silvermane, and finally, the last two unicorns. So we finally see our last three unicorns, and Uni goes up, and, you know, they're all happy and stuff like that for a few moments. But then we see the unicorns become annoyed, and Eric starts getting pissed. Like, well, ungrateful ingrates, we tried to help them. And, you know. But then they're like, no, they're not mad at us. They're mad at him. They point up, and we see Kellogg on top of the mountain because he was smart and was like, maybe I should just follow this. Oh, look at that. There's the valley.
Yeah. And this is the second time the kids have fallen for that trap.
Well, because they're dumb.
Yeah. Hey, we will lead the villain to where the villain wants to go. It's happened twice.
So he exclaims his joy of tricking the group and laughs as he takes his amulet and zaps the last three unicorns, pulling them towards him. And then with his other hand, smashes some rocks on top of them, which Eric uses his force shield to block the rocks.
Yep.
So the amulet is an amulet of levitation? Yes?
Tractor beam?
Tractor beam?
Amulet of tractor beam, the way it was grabbing the unicorns and pulling them.
I thought I was thinking it was an amulet of levitation that he was using to zap them.
Yeah, telekinesis or something like that.
It was kind of cool.
He's using his telekinesis power.
Yeah, and he uses his finger power to stop it. Hits the rocks and they fall, which Eric blocks his force shield, and the old man gets away with the unicorns, and the group is trapped under the rocks. And then we pan to a few moments later. Obviously the old man got away. And then Bobby's crawling out as he's shocked that Eric was able to save them. And guess who shows up?
The Dungeon Master.
Why are you whispering?
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Yes, the Dungeon Master shows up because Rock... He basically did the rocks fall, everyone dies. But the characters actually made their saves.
So DM shows up and he gives them a pointless lesson by telling them that
showed up and like, I'm surprised you doofuses are still alive.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, why are you surprised? Because your strongest ally is your worst enemy. Tip number two. Riddle number two.
Hint. Yes. Hint.
Yeah, and the group kind of just dismisses it and was like, oh, stupid DM. The group just is like, hey, why don't we head back to the Kellogg's secret hidden castle of doom?
So we could save the unicorns without a plan.
And then, out of nowhere, Eric does the light bulb thing that you were alluding to before, Nick, and says...
Well, not Eric, but it was Presto.
Yeah, you're right. Presto alludes to it before. He says, hey, wait a minute. Our strongest ally is our worst enemy. That's Venger. Let me pull him out of my hat.
And Eric's like, no!
And this is actually the first time the kids actually took the cryptic DM tip and did it right.
Yeah.
And Presto used his hat properly.
Do we count this as properly, or do we not count this? Because
No, I think you do, because he gets a hold of Avenger and talks to him about it.
He accomplishes his goal in a backhanded manner.
So it worked.
It's funny because he's just like, I'll pull him out of my hat. He should be right here. And then we hear Venger like, ooh. He's like, Venger, ah!
Yeah, because he actually teleports to Venger's domain.
So Venger is on a different plane of existence?
Or his castle of unhappiness, doom, was, no fun.
So was Venger about to take a bath? Was that a giant bath in front of him? Because he was like standing in front of this blue water thing. I thought it was like a bath.
Maybe. I was about to go into my hot tub.
Yeah, I was going to take a nice soothing... You damn kids, I was sick of you and your items of power.
I was going to take a nice soak for about 15, 20 minutes, and then you're a dumbass show.
Yeah, I was going to read the sports page and see what happened with the Mets. So Venger gets all mad, and he threatens to kill him. How dare you, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But Presto pops up and babbles. Tells him about Kellogg's plan.
Right. Like, Venger's about to, like, zap him into oblivion as Presto babbles on about Kellogg and unicorns and how he wants to, you know, be more powerful than him. And he's like, what, Kellogg?
Wait, want to be more powerful than me? Hold on a second.
Yeah, so he gets triggered by the old man's name. And
yeah.
Did you notice it? He was like, Kellogg, tell me more. Start from the beginning. Right. Well, you see, I was born. No, anyway. And then we just assumed because they cut back.
See, the first the Earth cooled, then the dinosaurs came, and they got too big and fat, and they turned into oil.
Yes. We just assume now that Presto is telling Avenger the information he needs to know, because we cut back to Killick robbing the last of the unicorn's horns, except for Silvermane, which he decides to hold off on for the moment.
Because he's maniacal.
But, right. And then he this plan that they come up with, this absolutely stupid plan of taking Eric's boot and going,
because Eric even said it was stupid.
Yeah. And you can see, I think, Bobby and Diana in the background petting the sad unicorns. And the old man's... Yeah.
Because that's the only thing they're good at right now.
Oh, yeah. And then Killick, the old man, just like was like, what's that noise? And he goes, like, shuffling off to wherever. Luckily, Silvermane has not been touched. So Sheila, who is hiding on the side, pulls open her cloak and heads over as Hank says, now! And she starts to release Silvermane. But Killick, smarter than the group, was just hiding in plain sight. I don't know. Where did he go? Who knows? Foils their plans and throws the wolves to them. Literally.
Literally thrown to the wolves.
Yeah. Suddenly, Presto poofs back up in the middle of the wolf attack. And as the wolf jumps in the air with his paws ready to bite, and Presto says, you wouldn't guess where I've been, blah, blah, blah. The wolf gets zapped into a cute little wolf puppy. Aw. Oh, they were cute, weren't they?
They were adorable, actually. Yeah.
And you're like, huh? What's going on? As one of them bites Eric's foot.
Yes. It starts gnawing on it.
And then Venger, I did it. And he comes walking in. And Killick now becomes triggered. And
he's triggered, too.
He becomes majorly triggered and crawls into the fetus position.
Microaggressions everywhere.
Yeah. He becomes, like, fetus-like and...
Yes. Venger comes the star-screamed Avengers Megatron.
Yeah. As Venger forces Killick to call him master and thanks Killick for keeping the horns warm for him and toasty. Thanks for keeping them warm for me, sucker.
By the way, call me master.
Yeah.
You wuss.
Yeah, and he calls him master, and the Venger demands the horns but realizes there is a spell blocking them. And tells Killick to drop the spell. And Killick somehow finds his balls and decides to attack Venger.
He's like, yes, master.
Yeah, and then just starts doing his little, I don't know what the hell, his tensor disc thing, ball, whatever, and starts to blast Venger. But Venger just goes, meh, and zaps him.
He's like, damn it.
The two have a pretty big battle. The statue is destroyed in the battle. And guess what happens? Presto attempts magic.
Oh, God. Yeah, this one was a fail.
He's just like...
No doubt.
I don't... His rhyme was, make all the unicorns' horns reappear in there, or something weird like that.
Kadir, make all the unicorn horns appear. What appears?
Horns. Musical horns. Yeah, on musical their heads. Yes. And I went... As I actually wrote in my notes... Sigh in big letters.
Presto, you useless turd.
And then Eric, the rational, amazing hero of this adventure, pulls out his notepad from his butt again and repeats, duh, the fate of the one phrase.
Yeah.
And Diana, who's normally able to dismiss Eric and make fun of him like a bully, agrees with him and says, hey, Mr. Mouth is right. There we get our Mr. Mouth line.
Mm-hmm.
In which Presto's like, all right. And Presto tries again, doing this some smell that gives one horn back to Uni, which puts all the horns back on the unicorn's head. He did something right!
Yay!
Add to the tally.
I suppose so.
Have to.
I'll give it up.
And then we hear a Killick scream in the background as we see him, like, go into a bubble and then go into the ground.
His safe space.
Yeah, he went into a safe space after being triggered by Venger. And then the castle starts crumbling. And Venger says the castle's going to fall now that Killick is not here to keep its power going. And of course, turns on the group.
Why would he say that? I mean, wouldn't he just like leave and just like get the. They would be crushed and then he would get their items of power?
I would think so. He demands the items of power as the castle is crumbling around them. Hank then gets a brilliant idea. Hey, let's jump on the unicorn's knee and teleport the group out now. In which they do, and they get on the horseback, and Bobby
gets
on.
That's terrible, Hank.
Yeah. Well, I can't do a Willie Ames voice, so be quiet. And they do, and Bobby gets on Uni barely. And, of course, Uni gets the spell correctly this time. As they all teleport out before crashing into the wall. And, yeah, well, it looks like they're going to crash into the wall. Venger is seen screaming in annoyance as the castle falls on. The most powerful magic user in the land gets crushed by rocks.
Damn it, my hot tub!
But not so much.
And it happened in two episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The group is looking on.
This time, though, the clouds look really cool.
Yeah. The group is looking on a mile away again. And they're like, oh, I think Venger's finally gone. You think he's gone? And then we see another explosion, as usual. And it forms a Venger-like person in the sky. And Hank's like, nope, he's alive. I guess that answers our question.
It looked a lot better than the last time, though.
Yeah, it looked cooler this time, yeah. This time you actually see, like, the whole Venger outline.
Right.
And then we jump back to Unicorn Valley as the unicorns are happy. And we find out that Uni is playing in the lake with her stupid unicorn friends. And Bobby's
the big lake of ranch dressing.
Yes, it's the Hidden Valley. And Bobby is really sad because he hasn't had his fiber. And he's like, no, Uni must come with me. I'm not leaving without Uni. And the group leaves, but of course they don't exactly leave and they keep the waterfall portal open as Eric is there. The little puppies are biting at his feet. And all of a sudden...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, that's where... I think Sheila pipes up and says, well, Dungeon Master says they'll grow up and be protectors of the valley.
Of the Unicorn Valley, yeah.
Yes.
Which we don't know how that even happened, but whatever.
Yeah.
But it's alluded to a little bit. But anyway. And then Uni comes running out of the waterfall and jumps into Bobby's arms.
You made the getting nice.
Yeah, I know. And jumps into Bobby's arms, and Bobby's all happy because Uni's going to stay with the group, and I threw my drink across the room because I thought Uni was gone forever.
He threw his drink across the room. That's hilarious.
Back then, probably when I was a kid, my bowl of cereal went plopping across the room because I was like, stupid freaking Uni.
Stupid. At this time, I'm like, I better get dressed and get ready to go down the Star Realm.
Yeah.
I'll be gaming in about an hour.
And then
that was the gamer hangout that I went at.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And then the group's walking off all happily as Sheila's crying and Hank is like, oh, what's wrong? It's tears of joy. Ooh, I'm lame. And then we see Dungeon Master skulking inside the waterfall waving with a big old grin on his face.
Hi, suckers.
Like he's a creeper out in the daytime watching the pretty girls run.
So long, suckers.
Which we can assume that when everything was happening with Bobby and the wolves, maybe he was talking to Sheila. I have no idea.
Probably.
Maybe he's like, hey, baby, what's your number? I don't know. You can never tell. And then the group walks off happily into the sunset like normal.
Right.
And we all died a little bit inside. The end. Yeah, so... Flying circus. So what's your working theory?
All right. This is starting to tie into things what I thought about this, what I'm thinking about this show. And I think there's other evidence too that we will definitely see in later on shows. You're talking about the bag of bottle caps, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had the pencil and pad of paper, right?
Yeah.
Two rather anachronistic sort of things to be found in a fantasy setting. Can we agree upon that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, the world is basically a combination of wastelands and places that you don't want to live for the most part, correct?
Right.
And most of the nice places are hidden valleys or what have you, correct?
Yeah.
My theory is it's a post-apocalyptic Earth. What?
Okay. Go on.
Is
that's it. That's it, man. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence that we've tracked in so far.
So this isn't the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. It's the Gamma World cartoon.
No, it's D&D, but gone gonzo.
I'm not buying it.
What?
Not sold yet, but she's still got...
There is mounting evidence to suggest that the realms, as depicted in here, is a post-apocalyptic world.
You have 23 more episodes to prove it to us, so...
Oh, I will, sir. Oh, yes, I will.
All righty. That's going to end the episode. What did we learn from this episode? They had no chance of still getting home.
Right.
No mention of it.
Yeah, for the most part. This was a total, like, sidetrack episode. Nothing to do with getting home.
I would think every time I saw the Dungeon Master, I'd be like, dude, are we going home? Are we going home? I don't care about your stupid unicorn quest.
Now?
Seriously, every time I saw that dude, I'd be like, are we going home?
I think I just figured it out.
Uh-oh.
I'm going more like they get on the roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
And the coaster actually derailed and they died. So this is actually like Lost. And this is them in the
limbo.
Yes.
They're in limbo.
Yeah, that would explain the randomness, the anachronistic stuff. The fact that you have Tiamat as a wandering monster.
And LOL.
Plot holes, everything gets explained by that. They're dead.
I like my theory better.
So it's not, we're not going to have flashbacks. We're going to have sidebacks, as they call it in Lost, because they were never flashbacks. They were sideways visions, as they call them. So we'll see.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, it's a post-apocalyptic world. I'm telling you.
Anyway, that's going to end the show because I have nothing left to say.
There will be evidence. I guarantee you. Other episodes. The evidence will mount.
All right. You can keep that on your notepad, that your theory, and have it working.
Oh, by the way, the Presto tally now is
5.
6.
6. Ooh.
6.
So
6.
He averages 3 every.
Well, we've done 4 episodes, so about 1.5.
1.5 an episode.
Roughly. Something like that.
Maybe he performs better in even number episodes than compared to odd number episodes.
I think he performs better under pressure, it seems like.
I don't know. We probably should keep tally of how many times he does it wrong so we can do the percentage-wise of right. That might be too much work.
Okay, Nick, in the meantime, you have to go back and rewatch these 4 episodes and count every use of magic.
No.
Yes. Nick's just going to give it a random number of 7.
Not enough beer and rum in the world to make me do that.
Oh. All right. Well, we're going to say goodnight, everybody. Keep it original, keep it old school.
Goodnight.
Roll for initiative.